As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Ruck from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Jessica Hayden, a rugby journalist at The Times, and it's the big one. It's the final out in New Zealand. It's England against New Zealand at a sold-out Eden Park this weekend. I'm delighted to be joined by my colleague Elgan Alderman, who is out in New Zealand. Elgan, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you, Jess?
I'm good, thank you. I was just saying before we recorded that you're always the snappiest dresser at The Times. You win the award every year, I think.
Well, the beauty of wearing colourful clothing is that it makes up for any deficiencies in personality, and you don't have to make any effort whatsoever with small or big talk. So that, sadly, this isn't an audio medium, but the listeners will just have to take your word for it.
It's a shirt with a lot of bold colours. It's lovely. It's nice, actually, Elgan, because, oh, you're showing us a bit better. So it's some blue, yellow and red zigzags on there. It's nice because when I've seen photos of the media rooms out in New Zealand, even if you're back to the camera, I'm like, that's Elgan, because you wore a lovely red cardigan. So, yeah, you're the snappiest dresser at The Times, and you're also out in New Zealand covering this tournament for The Times. How have you found it so far?
It's been very enjoyable. It's my first time in New Zealand, first time covering a World Cup. Obviously, I've been to a few of the men's tournaments as a fan. I went to the 1999 World Cup when I was 6 years old, so started young when Wales hosted it back then. Went to a few games in 2015 as well, but it's very exciting to be at a tournament proper for the first time, obviously on the other side of the world as well. Having the games all on the weekend means that it's obviously a very different type of rhythm than you get in sort of the usual men's World Cups, where it is sort of staggered games throughout the week. Mm. But it gives a decent pattern where you can recharge your batteries in the week and then go hell for leather at the weekend. But no, it's been it's been a slow burner, but certainly the last week or two it has really ramped up. The interest is huge now. The quality of the rugby in the last round, and obviously we're all hoping Saturday as well, have been superb. So it's ending up as a brilliant tournament.
It has been fantastic so far, but I'm just interested, outside of your work commitments, and you've been filing lots of interviews and features in the week, have you had a chance to travel around New Zealand at all?
I've had a few chances to explore with some of the other members of the press pack. We had a nice trip to Devonport one day, and a few of us came back looking a bit pink because the weather in Auckland is always ready to catch you out. You never quite know if it fancies being cold and wet and windy, or if it fancies being 25 and just ruining your skin forever. So no, but we had a lovely day, went up to one of the mounds, brilliant views of everything around Auckland and the visiting islands. And we've had a trip to Waiheke as well for an excellent lunch one day. Looking forward to going up Mount Eden tomorrow, hopefully, or maybe on Saturday morning before the game. So there have been a few opportunities to get about, obviously nothing too major, but a few opportunities just to see what's going on in the area.
That sounds lovely. Pleased to hear that you're making the most of it. On today's episode, I'm going to head into the England camp to chat to Tatiana Hurd, who is on the bench this weekend for England against New Zealand. And of course, we'll look ahead at the final. But first, I think we have to talk about the semi-finals. I think, Elgan, you called it the greatest day of women's rugby because it was just such an incredible day. We had the first final, Canada 19, England 26, and then the second final where New Zealand got through by 1 point, 25-24 against France. If we start with Canada versus England, what did you make of that match?
It was such a great game for the obvious reason that Canada are, I use the term amateur, they don't like the term amateur. They because, you know, they treat themselves like professionals. They just don't get paid. So there were many stories in the build-up about how they had been spending months away from home, so giving up jobs, living out of suitcases, etc. You know, I described them as the last remaining pro bono team rather than the last remaining amateur team. And the fact that they were going up against the mighty England, who were 29 games unbeaten, fully professional, was just a great clash. And the fact that Canada gave them such a good go. And obviously the moment of the match was that Abby Dow try, rounding off a sort of 115-meter diagonal move at a point where Canada had gone through about 10, 15 phases on the English line. And had they scored and converted, they'd have gone into the lead after 50 minutes against England. But as it was, England ended up leading 23-12, a real sucker punch, and they ended up holding on. But even after that, Canada still gave such a good go of it. And for that reason, you know, that was why it was just such a terrific game, because you had these people with such a great backstory of months of hard work and sacrifice, giving their all, and they truly wanted to win. They were dejected after that. Sophie Dugoudy, who was magnificent at number eight, was on the verge of tears because she wasn't there just to give England a bloody nose. She was there to try and beat them, and they just fell short. But how brilliantly they played.
Do you think there was part of it that Canada were seen so much as the underdogs that there was less pressure on them? I know they said that in the build-up. No one expects anything from us, especially last autumn. England beat Canada very convincingly. So was there pressure on their shoulders going into that match?
I think definitely. I mean, if you're entering a game as the complete underdog where no one gives you a chance, or if you're entering the game with 29 wins in a row and everyone expects you to wipe the floor with them, then in a sense, having none of that pressure should free you up. And Canada didn't play with as if they had, you know, any stress on their shoulders whatsoever. They just gave it a good go. And, you know, England are such a good team that thus far they are always able to deal with the pressure they've had. But you do wonder if, you know, maybe they might be getting a bit tense. You never know. Even the greatest athletes will feel tension at these moments. But no, it was just great to see Canada give such a good account of themselves. And for the neutral anyway, it was a terrific game.
England do tend to panic a bit under pressure. And I think this is their first real test. I think the France match in the group stage was brilliant. It was really an exciting match, very close and attritional. But this match, I think they were being forced out a bit more and felt like they were struggling a bit under that pressure. But having come out of that match on top, is this the best prep they could have had for the World Cup final, facing New Zealand on home turf, as we said, at a sold out Eden Park?
I think Simon Middleton, the head coach, would certainly say so, because he said after the game, you know, we're battle hardened now. We've just been through 80 minutes of genuine toil there. We've had to fight hard. We weren't on our best, and yet still we came through to win. Obviously, with England having won 29 games in a row, people think, oh, they just turn up and win. Actually, if you look back at many of those games, mainly, in fact, almost entirely against France until the Canada game, there have been a lot of narrow victories there. There was the game in November 2020 where they were 8 points down after an hour, and they won after 24 phases and a penalty kick in the final play. They've had those games where they haven't been at their best. But, you know, it's one of the great sporting cliches. Good teams win when they're off. You know, they just figure out a way to win. It's a bit of a habit. So, you know, Simon Middleton was saying earlier today, New Zealand time, yesterday UK time, when he announced his team, that actually going into final, there's less pressure now, because the main pressure was getting that far. Now that they're there, there's no next game to think about. This is just the one that they've been aiming for. And Wayne Smith said the same thing for New Zealand as well. He said that he was always nervous for quarters and semis because you know what's coming next. But once you're in the final, it's just one event. That's what we've got to do. And after that, we all have a party and go home.
I'm not sure I buy that, because Simon Middleton...
Well, that's what they say anyway.
Yeah, it's what they say. But Simon Middleton has been saying for at least a year now that they're not the best team in the world until they've won the World Cup. And that's been his mantra. And he brings it out every time, you know, when we talk about the win streak or particularly good performances and say, you know, best team in the world, he always comes back with, we're not the best team until we've won the World Cup. I think there's been a lot of mind games this week between the coaches and talking about who has the most pressure on them. Definitely feels like they're both kind of revealing a bit of nerves about this final. So to say that the pressure's off, I'm not sure I agree with that. But they are facing New Zealand, and that semi-final between New Zealand and France was amazing. I think one of the most exciting games of rugby I've ever seen. It was just brilliant, just from start to finish. You couldn't go and make a coffee, as much as I wanted one, because it was so early in the morning. And I'd been up for the Canada-England game as well before that. As much as I wanted a coffee, I couldn't stand up off the sofa to go and make one because it was just constant. It was incredible. Let's talk a bit about how New Zealand faced France. So France, obviously very attritional, very forward-focused. That's the part of the game that New Zealand tend to be criticised for, that they're reliant on their backs. Still tries from Flula to Ruby Tui and Fitzpatrick. Really good tries there. How do you think they're shaping up for the final?
Certainly based off what they seemed like this morning. So, well, they probably played a masterstroke in that this morning at the press conference, we had Kendra Coxedge, scrum half, most capped Black Fern of all time. She's going to win a 68 cap on the weekend and retire as the most capped Black Fern of all time. Ruby Tui, who's probably everyone's favourite Black Fern because of the lively post-match interview she gives. And Wayne Smith, the director of rugby, the man they call the professor, who's been there at World Cups before. So they probably had three people that are least likely to show nerves when talking. And they seemed to be having an absolutely great time when they were talking anyway. Obviously, the Black Ferns will have pressure on them because New Zealand is the most demanding, expectant rugby nation there is. And they're going to be at Eden Park. More than 40,000 people there. But at the same time, they possibly, on balance of things, do have a bit less pressure on them because I think before the tournament, I don't think anyone thought England were going to lose. And you do sense this week that now those who've been backing England the entire time are now thinking, oh, hang on, New Zealand could do this.
I've got to hold my hands up because I think at the start of the tournament, I was very in the mindset of I'm more looking forward to 2025 than this tournament because I think it's almost written already what's going to happen. New Zealand had such a bad preparation with the review that was scathing about the culture in the Black Ferns and then a bad autumn in England and France. So I was quite nervous for them and I really wanted them to do what they've done and have an incredible tournament so far, play their brand of rugby and look like they're having fun while they're doing it, which is exactly what they've done. And I think it has set up a brilliant final and it's definitely too close to call for me. I'm not going to say I think England are going to run away and win this. And I don't think New Zealand can say that either. It's going to be so tough. And I think this every game plan you can have, I think almost goes out the window in that final 20 minutes or so, because I think both teams want to play quite wide rugby, I think, now for this final. And I just think you can't really predict it. We will chat a bit more about the final and especially the team news in England. But first, I headed into the England camp last night to chat to Tatiana Hurd. I'm delighted to be heading into the England camp to chat to Tatiana Hurd, who starts on the bench against New Zealand in the final. Tatiana, how are you?
Yeah, really good, thank you.
Excited for this weekend?
Yeah, can't wait. I think it's really exciting that we're in a World Cup final, so be involved in that is amazing.
So give us a bit of an insight into your journey so far in this World Cup, because you've really played into your shirt.
So we all kind of had conversations at the start with Mids, and he kind of told us where he thought we sat, and I was told that I'd probably be an MPR, maybe be a finisher. And they weren't really looking to give people opportunities. Obviously, it's a World Cup. You're not looking to rotate your team much, are you? You want to be making sure you're getting the win. So, yeah, pretty content with that because, obviously, I wasn't even expecting to be here. So was just really grateful to be in the squad and then got an opportunity against South Africa and then just luckily like played my way into the team, I guess. So, yeah.
Well, played your way into the team. It was a player of the match performance against South Africa, wasn't it? Yeah. What was that like, getting the player of the match trophy when you had so few caps at the time?
Pretty unexpected. I think because I didn't really put much pressure on myself. I just wanted to go out there and play and enjoy myself. And obviously we were coming up against South Africa, and I hadn't ever played them before. So it was just really exciting, something completely new and really unexpected. So to get the opportunity was really exciting. And I think I just went out there and enjoyed it. And that's why I ended up playing all right. So pretty amazing to get the player of the match, but also like to come out with the win that we got, and everybody kind of working to really well as a team together was great. So player of the match just topped it off, really.
And then you started the quarterfinal and the semi-final. In that semi-final looked like such a difficult match to play in Canada, was a really difficult opposition. Was that the hardest match of rugby you've ever played?
I would say it probably was, yeah. I think Canada are a really good side and they're so physical. So it was just, it was really tough. And obviously it was a hot day. It was a big occasion. So I think personally, it felt like not loads of pressure, but when you think about the fact that you're playing in a World Cup semi-final, it's a pretty big deal. And then coming up against a side like Canada, who are as physical as they are, it was really tough. And I think that showed, didn't it, in the scoreline and in the match, because they really brought it to us and it was really tough for all of us as a squad. So to come out on top and to get to the final is just really exciting. We all can't wait for it.
Yeah, getting into that final is incredible. But for you, still not having reached 10 caps, playing in a World Cup final, that's incredible. So you're on the bench this weekend. Is it more or less nerve-wracking being on the bench? Because I'd kind of imagine when you see the kickoff, I feel like that's quite nerve-wracking, being on the pitch when it kicks off. But when you're on the bench, you've got to watch it happen and then go on the pitch. So are you more or less nervous being on the bench than if you were starting?
I think at the moment, I'm a bit less nervous. I think I don't need to, not that I try not to put too much pressure on myself, but I think it kind of eases that a lot when you're on the bench and you can kind of see how it's panning out and see what you need to do from the minute you step onto the field. I think when you're starting, you overthink a lot about, or not necessarily everyone, but I personally am thinking all about like what I'm going to do and what I need to do to make sure like I'm putting my best foot forward and like putting in my best performance for the team. So I think it does soften that stress a little bit when you're on the bench and you can see how everything's panning out and how the other team are playing and what you can kind of do to make a difference or make an impact when you come on.
I'm sure you've been looking at New Zealand and how they've been playing rugby so far this tournament. It's been a crazy game. And we said last week on The Ruck that Kendra Cox-Edge of the Black Ferns has said that you can't preview the Black Ferns because they're such a difficult side to analyse, because they just play an offloading game. They run really fast. They don't necessarily stick to a game plan the way that other teams do. What's your reaction to that? How do you prepare to face the Black Ferns?
I think they do. They do play with a lot of flair, and they do like to offload. They like to play quite instinctively. But there's a lot of people in our side that have been analysing teams like that for years now, and playing against the Black Ferns quite a lot. I personally obviously haven't come up against them, but a lot of the girls have. So I think, although like from an outside perspective, it might look like they're hard to analyse, I think our girls and our staff know a lot of the players, even some of like the sevens girls coming back in. A lot of our sevens girls who have been there have come up against them. So I think, yeah, it is a tough one, but equally, I think there's a lot of people in our squad that do know how they play too.
And if England come out on top and you get to have a World Cup winner's medal before you've hit 10 caps, what would that feel like?
I think a bit crazy, really. But also, although I haven't got many caps, I've been wanting and like in and around this environment and hoping to be back into it for years. So it's not kind of a situation where I think I never expected or wanted to be here. I think I always had doubts that I would get into this squad. But since I got my first cap, this has always been my dream. I wanted to win a World Cup. But to do that, you've got to get to a World Cup. So I was just, you know, kind of taking it step by step and hoping that I would get here. So to potentially have that opportunity this weekend is amazing. But again, it's something I've been like dreaming of for years now.
Well, I'm wishing you the best of luck. It'd be amazing. I think it's going to be an incredible final, no matter what happens. And I know Simon Middleton says that you don't get many classic finals because people are exhausted, people are knackered, and you just want to win. And people potentially don't play with as much flair when they just want to win. So I think it's going to be an interesting match. I'm so excited. Before I let you go, I have to ask, I have this weird thing. I've been talking to this lovely lady called Tracy on Twitter for, it feels like years, but maybe just a year, about women's rugby. We talk quite a lot about the Premier 15s. She'll drop me a message and say, oh, Jess, have you seen this? And it'll be some lovely thing. And we talk a lot. We've spoken about you, but not that much. But we have mentioned you in the past. And then I see that she's your mum. And I have no idea. I had no idea. I was talking to your mum this whole time. And thank God I've always been so positive about you, because it'd be a bit awkward if I hadn't. But I see she's been out in New Zealand supporting you the whole time.
Yeah, I think they got here about a week after us, but obviously we hadn't started anything. We'd just been in training then. So she hasn't missed a single game. Not even of just me. She's watched them all. So, yeah, she's been everywhere.
Oh, I bet she's excited for the final as well.
Yeah, she's really excited. And I think it's really exciting that they can be here, and all the family and friends, really, of all the players, because you're at the other side of the world, and I think people don't really consider that you've come all the way out here. We've been here for 7 weeks, so to have people supporting us over here is amazing. And obviously you're playing New Zealand in New Zealand. They're going to have a pretty big following, so grateful that we can have our family and friends here to support us.
Let's hope they're loud enough for you, because it's a sold out Eden Park this Saturday, and people in the UK can watch it on ITV at 6:30 a.m. The kickoff 7:30 p.m. in New Zealand. Tatiana, thank you so much. Wishing you the best of luck, and I better let you go now so you can get training for this weekend. Thanks, Tatiana.
Thank you.
As you're listening to me, Daisy, Apple's iPhone disassembly robot, is dismantling an iPhone into lots of recyclable parts. That's how Apple recovers more materials than conventional recycling methods. Thanks, Daisy. There's more to iPhone.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Great to chat to Tatiana there. Elgin, Tatiana is on the bench for this match after a pretty phenomenal campaign. She played against South Africa, got a player of the match performance in the centre, and then got to keep that starting shirt for the quarterfinal and the semi-final, but hasn't been given the centre shirt this weekend. Instead, the inside centre shirt goes to Holly Aitchison. That's quite a big call. What did you make of it?
When you look at that, you do think it possibly suggests that England might try and attack New Zealand a bit more out wide than maybe we've seen them attacking thus far in this tournament. Because Holly Aitchison, she's more of a creative running 12. She's got a sevens background. She can cover 10 if Zoe Harrison, you know, comes into mischief. Whereas Tatiana Hurd is very much the straight ball carrying, hard running inside centre. Holly is the third inside centre England have had this tournament. Obviously, Helena Rowland started the tournament there. She's another utility back, covers sort of 10, 12, 15. She'd probably cover the wing if she had to. She's very fast, Helena. But Helena was the sad casualty of the semi-final. She was having such a good game at fullback and went off with a foot injury. And so she's been hobbling around the hotel, sadly, this week, and will be unable to play. So it is an interesting call that Simon Middleton's gone for Holly rather than keeping Tatiana for that reason. But yeah, you do think that when I spoke to Tatiana a week or so ago before the semi-final, and she was talking about how she and Helena don't really feel like they're rivals in a sense because they are very different 12s. If Tatiana's playing, then she'll do the bulk of the ball carrying. If Helena's at 12, then Emily Scarrett at 13 will do the bulk of the ball carrying. So with how England are going to line up on Saturday, you'd think that, yes, Emily Scarrett, who's had a bit of a quiet tournament by her usual very high standards, there might now be the chance for her to, you know, grab the game by the scruff of the neck and be that force trying to get England going forward. And then you've got Holly Aitchison doing a bit more creative things out wide with Tatiana on the bench if they decide that they need a bit of straight line, a bit of getting over the gain line later on in the game. So it does suggest possibly that England will try and take New Zealand on out wide a bit more than you might think.
So Emily Scarrett and Holly Aitchison are a partnership that have worked together quite a lot for England in the past. They haven't so far at this tournament. Do you think that that's the secret thing that Simon Middleton's been saying all tournament is the worst? I'd never tell him a secret because he's the worst person at keeping a secret, because he's been saying the whole tournament, we have a game plan, we're going to bring it out in the final. And it's been a lot of talk. And I thought, really, are you? Because, you know, you're giving all your secrets away if you are. Is this it? Is this the answer to New Zealand?
Oh, well, possibly. But you can't help but think that if Helena Rowland was fit, she'd be in there somewhere. Would that have been back at 12, like when she started the tournament? Would that have been at 15 and then Ellie Kildone on the bench? I think that on the balance of probabilities, probably going into this game, it would have just been a case of we want that slightly more creative 12. So it's going to be Holly or Helena. And you'd have thought, based off the fact that Helena Rowland has been playing consistently in this tournament, then it would have gone her way. As it is, he's very comfortable picking Holly there. You know, she started at outside centre against South Africa and she's come off the bench three times. So she has been used. She hasn't just been, you know, sitting in bubble wrap on the sideline. And as you said, she played four games in the Six Nations. She started across the centres at 12 and 13. So she's been used and she's played with Emily Scarrett pretty recently. So that must be why, you know, he doesn't feel it's a big step in the dark to throw her in at 12. Obviously, if it doesn't work, then you might say something different then. But for now, he's clearly comfortable with Holly playing at 12.
You're right. She does distribute the ball well and she plays the ball out wide a lot, which is definitely, I think, a good sign of what the game plan is going to be. On the wings, we've got Lydia Thompson and Abby Dow. Now, Abby Dow, we've spoken about, had the most phenomenal try in the semi-final, which was helped a lot by Claudia McDonald. So Claudia, for those who didn't see it, you know, she beat a couple of defenders and then did this beautiful pass to Abby Dow, who then sprinted almost the length of the pitch to score. It was lovely. Claudia is on the bench. Lydia Thompson starts. Now, for me, Elgin, that's because Lydia defensively is such a strong winger. She's got a lot of experience playing against New Zealand as well, against those players. She ran rings around them in the 2017 final. Is that the right decision, do you think, having Lydia starting and Claudia on the bench as maybe wing and scrum half cover?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. Lydia did play. Yeah, she got two tries in the 2017 final. She started the tournament on the right wing. Obviously, Claudia's had a great tournament as well before her slight injury, scoring four tries against Fiji. But with that 6-2 split on the bench of forwards to backs, you do have the archetypal utility back replacement in Claudia McDonald. She'll be able to cover Leanne Infante at nine, whoever, Abby Dow or Lydia on the wing. So I just think, yeah, Lydia's big game experience. You know, she's got plenty of caps for England. She's played for them for a long time. It's a fair call to have out there. She's done very well in attack, very well in defence. And you've got Claudia's game-changing abilities to come off the bench.
Let's talk about the bench split. As you say, it's a 6-2 split on the bench. That's very forward heavy for a game that has been pipped to be kind of much more back focused. And, you know, if there are injuries in the backs, there's not much cover on the bench for them.
All the talk has been about how this is a clash of styles between New Zealand's slight frailties up front. You know, we saw they beat Wales convincingly, but in the pool stages, but Wales actually dominated them up front at scrum and line out. And given that England are certainly the best line out maul in the world and a pretty decent scrum too, then you'd think, yeah, New Zealand could be staring down the barrel of a forward stuffing in the tight. But such an experienced forward pack England have. They've got seven of that starting eight started the 2017 final as well. There's so much experience there. They're averaging more than 70 caps a player in the starting eight, which is, as I mentioned earlier, more than the most capped Black Fern of all time with 67. So to have that, all that experience and ability on the, in the starting 15, and then six very good forwards on the bench as well, maybe the English version of the Springbok bomb squad. They've got this balance of potentially a bit of attack out wide, but also the knowledge that we've got a great forward pack, and then we've got six more on the bench as well to really hammer home that advantage if needs be.
I think this is the strongest England pack that there is. You know, Vicky Cornborough, Amy Cocaine, and Sarah Byrne in the front row, with Zoe Aldcroft, Abby Ward in the second, and Alex Matthews, Marley Packer, and Sarah Hunter. It, of course, will be Sarah Hunter's final World Cup match. She's confirmed that she won't be playing at the next World Cup. On the bench, we've got Lark Davis, Maud Muir, Shauna Brown, Kath O'Donnell, Poppy Cleal, and Sadia Kabeya for the forwards. You're right, bomb squad. Poppy Cleal, the fact that she hasn't made it into that starting team is quite big, because I think a year ago she was by far the most on-form player in England, and now she's kind of on the bench. Hasn't had a blow-away tournament, has she?
No, no, and obviously, you know, Sarah Hunter, as you mentioned, as the captain, she's going to win 140th cap. You know, it would be a bold move to then shelve her from the final when she's been playing every game except for the South Africa game in this tournament. So, but you've got that knowledge then, as I mentioned, that you've got Poppy on the bench with Sadia as well, who tackles anything that moves. Well, what did she make? Something like 32 tackles in that warm-up game against the United States or whatever it was. And, you know, her time will come in the future. But for now, with that back row of Alex Matthews, Marley Packer, Sarah Hunt, I mean, that is such a pedigree trio that will have all bases covered. And Simon Milton is not afraid to take Sarah Hunter off quite early. You know, she's often come off in about the 50th minute or so. So if it is Poppy Cleal that comes on for her, she'll have a good half hour at the business end of the match, you know, to have her say on the encounter if needs be.
Elgin, great to chat to you about the Rugby World Cup. Just quickly before we go, obviously this is the final. What's been your highlight of the tournament?
My highlight of the tournament, well, it just has to be that semi-final. I mean, when England went 12-0 up, one of my colleagues in the press box, they will remain nameless, sort of turns to one of our colleagues and said, oh, that's that in the bag then. And then Justine Pelletier sends the England back row the wrong way at the back of a scrum in her own half, stands up Claudia McDonald, and then chips forward for Karen Packer in the open side flanker to beat all comers to the ball. When that happened, I thought, here we are. Now we're in business. What a try that is. So even though Abby Dow's try and Sophie De Goody's goal kicking were great moments from that game, when that try happened, I thought, yeah, okay, we might be in for a game here. And what a try it was. And Canada then did a very similar attack. They clearly decided they were going to attack England around the fringes of the scrum, that maybe the back row were guilty of overchasing. So it was this great combination of perhaps a tactic, a thing that they'd noticed in the most unbeatable team in rugby at the moment, and that they were able to finish off a lovely 70-meter move. So yeah, I'm going to go for that Karen Paquin try. Always the contrarian me.
Well, I'm amazed that your favourite match is the Canada-England, because for me, this weekend, New Zealand-France was just incredible. I loved it. I'm amazed, because especially, like, I think just how close it was, the final kick of the match. Brilliant for rugby that we had two incredible semi-finals, especially because so far it's kind of been very clear who's going to win each match. And I think that was a really good test for both New Zealand and England. Elgin, thank you so much. I hope you really enjoy this weekend out in New Zealand. Very jealous that you're there and enjoying it, but very happy for you as well. And can't wait for you to be back here, brightening up the office with your snappiest outfits. This has been The Ruck from The Times and The Sunday Times. With the final taking place on Saturday, we'll have a review of the match in Monday's episode. Rachel Burford is going to be speaking to Elgin over in New Zealand, and I'll join Will Kelleher and Alex Lowe in the studio as well. Thank you for listening.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.